I don't know if I have ever been more excited about a set of podcast episodes releasing. And I need you to know that what we are going to tackle in these next two podcast episodes are likely a huge problem that you're experiencing. And you might be banging your head against the wall being like, but what can we actually do about it? How much control do we actually have over that? And I am here to tell you more than what you would predict, because exactly a year ago, I was sitting in my school at a faculty meeting with some stakeholders and being like, what can we do about this? How can we dive deep into this data and actually make a change? And now, a year later, I got proof. We got proof. And the proof is in the numbers, but the numbers don't mean anything unless we understand the names behind the kids who are contributing to the positive shift in what is about to unfold. What am I talking about here? Well, we're going to get into all of the details in this episode, but I can 1 bajillion % guarantee you that what we're going to dive into in this episode will help your school. It will help your students. It will help your staff. And it is so silly and so significant. And I bet that it's something that your school is already stressing out about at this point in the school year. I don't want to ruin anything, but I will tell you this. Spoiler alert. All you need to implement this idea are some potatoes. That's correct. To increase positivity and increase one of the greatest indicators of student success is just a few potatoes. This idea is about a spud, and I promise you, it's not going to be a dud. Yes. So let's get into the details.
There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life.
I was recently doing some light reading on key indicators of school success. And the top two indicators really made sense to me, honestly. I'm curious if you just took a couple of seconds to marinate on what the top two indicators would be from your mindset, what they would be. But I'll tell you, they were student achievement and school climate and culture. So essentially, if you are going to have a successful school, then student achievement is high and the students and the staff actually like walking into the building on a daily basis. Makes sense, right? Like that's just feeling a little bit logical. Now, we understand that positive school climate and culture can be difficult to achieve in these days, but student achievement is pretty much narrowed down to, are the kids learning? Are the kids achieving? Are the kids reaching their age-appropriate goals? Well, that is incredibly complicated. It is, right? Especially as we are still navigating, like, what is age-appropriate with the learning loss that happened during COVID. Like, that's still an active discussion that's happening. Now, the good news is that every single fall, my state, and maybe your state as well, releases something that helps guide our next decision. It's this roadmap of, here's how things went last year. What can we do to make things better this year? What can we target? What does the data actually say? In my state of Illinois, that's called the Illinois Report Card, and it breaks down your school on a number of different factors. It spits out all sorts of data on how our reading scores, how our math scores, How is the growth going? What about attendance data? What does that mean with socioeconomic status and individualized student groups? And so this is one of these things that either frustrates people or excites people. And I need you to know that both of those emotions are completely okay, because if it frustrates you, it's because one freaking report full of data does not actually show what is happening in that school on a daily basis. There should be a written narrative in an asterisk on almost every single piece of data, because there's always more to the story. You know that, and I know that. And that's actually what got us fired up last fall about this, is our data got released and we started flipping through some of these numbers. And quite frankly, we were sort of flipping out because we're like, how is that possible? What are we supposed to do with that? How do we problem solve that? What is our next step? And we started asking really good questions, probably like your school and state does as well. And even if your state doesn't have something as official as the report card for your school, I'm guessing that there is something that you can dive deep into. Well, in looking at student achievement, we said that that's super complicated, and it is. But as I was looking at this last year, and I was looking at it with other teachers and admin team, when we really peel back the layers of student achievement, one of the greatest indicators of student achievement and one of the greatest ways that we can raise student achievement in a very simple and strategic way is student attendance. If a kid is not in the building, isn't it more difficult for them to learn? If a student is chronically absent, isn't there going to be a larger learning gap? If a kid is not coming to school, don't they feel disconnected from staff and students? And don't we realize that those relationships often motivate kids to want to come into the building? So yes, student achievement is a huge can of worms that we should definitely focus on. But if we are trying to truly change the climate and the culture of the school, which is one of the greatest indicators of student success, how can we increase student achievement by looking at one of those key indicators, which is student attendance? So what is the attendance rate in your building? Do you know what that is? If you look at last school year's data, do you know the percentage? Because what I started doing and looking at was, what is our data on a month-to-month basis and on an annual basis? In fact, I've got some data to share with you, and this is true for Illinois. This is Illinois data from our Illinois report card, but I'm curious if your state kind of matches up to this and if your specific school matches up to this. But prior to COVID, if we're looking at 2019, just in the state of Illinois, the attendance average for a school year was 94%. That on average, 94% of students were walking into that school every single day. Honestly, I think that's pretty dang good, right? But if we look at after COVID, that number went down to 91%. And that didn't just happen for 1 year. For the past 3 years, the state average has been 91%, 91%, 91% as a state. So we are looking at a 3% decrease in students walking into the building consistently. Prior to COVID, it was at 94%. Do I think that that's messing with student achievement? Oh, hell yes. That's a big difference. 3% loss of student daily attendance really boils down to a lot of loss of minutes, a lot of loss of lessons, a lot of loss of connections, a lot of loss of relationships, a lot of things that just create that trickle-down effect, that domino effect. So when the report card got released, and I'm not going to share my specific school data on this, but I am going to use the average because I think that every school is going to be different. But I think that every school could probably say, so what are we going to do to increase attendance? What are we going to do about it? We can talk about it, or we can be about it. And we decided, let's be about it. Let's create a system. But systems can end up being stressful. Systems can end up being one more thing on our spinning plates that are already falling away too quickly. So what if we kind of tackled this system from a silly but also strategic approach? And as the Illinois report card data came out, I sat down with my secretary. She's amazing, in the building. And I said, hey, can you get me like a spreadsheet of what that looks like from month to month? Because I know what the Illinois report card says for our overall data for the year, but I'm curious what that looks like month to month. Because I'm going to guess that what happens in your school on a month to month is similar to what happens to ours. And guess what happens in January and February? Attendance starts to plummet. Why? Illness. I mean, listen to me right now. I'm a hot mess already, right? I got the sniffles. I got the flare-ups of the allergies. We got the cough. We got the sore throat. We got the fever. We got the pukes, right? That's just what starts to happen in January and February. We don't have control over that other than to sanitize the desks, making sure that we're promoting great hand washing, right? There is some illness that is just going to exist during the difficult months of January and February. Because when we looked at our monthly data, January and February were definitely the lowest. Obviously, the highest months of the year, honestly, August and May. Why are kids showing up in August? It's a new start to the year. Let's go. We are fresh. We are ready to roll. Parents are ready for their kids to roll out of the house. They're done with that. They're sending them to school. And then in May, a huge increase as well. Why? Because summer break is on the horizon. Kids are motivated to attend because of the field trips and the special things and the award days and all of the stuff that makes the end of the year like so exciting. So really, what we were looking at the middle of the year, we know kids are going to get sick, but is that the only reason that they're missing, or are they missing because they're sick of school by that point, right? Can we tighten up some systems and also make it so stinking fun to walk into the building that kids are incentivized to have better attendance? So we looked at the data. We broke it down month to month. We noticed that January and February were the lowest months of attendance. We don't have control over all of that, but we have control over some of that. Remember, one of the positive indicators of an amazing school is climate and culture that people care about. What can we get kids to care about? Well, our local ROE had sent out a newsletter about this like Mr. Potato Head sort of thing that they were doing in other neighboring schools. And the secretary forwarded that to me, and then the principal and I were in like an email chain being like, what could this look like for us? And I was like, oh, this is perfect because I've been really looking at the data on this. And then in January, at our like January 3rd or January 4th PD day, right? That first day back after the new calendar year flips, we decided to kind of roll this out, and we were going to call it Present Potatoes. That we were going to take this concept of we want attendance to increase. We want student presence to increase. We've got the data to show that January and February are the hardest months of the year when it comes to students walking into the building. But what can we do to create a positive spin on presence for those kids who are kind of tottering this line of, I'm not really sick, so maybe I should go to school. Or like, yes, I have the sniffles, but I know I'm not contagious. Should I go into the school? We were very clear about the fact, if you are sick, stay home. We don't want your germs. But if you are just needing, you know, a little bit of a break and you're doing the, oh, I'm sick, which we know is a thing. That's a thing. Straight up, I probably did that when I was a kid. Like, I could have gone to school, but maybe I was just needing a day. And I get, we need a day sometimes. But what can we do so that school is so stinking awesome and they are so stinking curious that they're coming through the door? Potatoes. We're going to roll with a potato theme. In fact, we got the PTO on board on this. The PTO, the parent teacher organization. You know, I like to call them community crusaders. Okay, that's really what it is. If you're a parent, that's great. But do we have community members, businesses, grandparents, right? We want all of the people who are raising these kids to be community crusaders. So we went to the PTO and I was like, hey, this is on the Zaun, also known as the Amazon. And it's a Mr. Potato Head set that's got three different size potato heads. It's got, you know, the big potato head, the medium potato head, and the small potato head. Because in my head, okay, in my head, I saw this and I was like, first, second, and third place. What if we were incentivizing some awesome student attendance by looking at the percent of every core class, and the class with the highest percentage each week got to customize a potato head, customize what their potato head looked like, give them all the cool accessories, and we could put those outside of the shelves of those classrooms as trophies. These potato heads were trophies. They were symbols of your students are walking into your building and we want to celebrate that. And the PTO said, we love this idea. We're literally going to put it in our PTO cart right now, and that will be to you in 3 days. And we're like, oh, heck yes. So we had the three different size potato heads. We had buy-in from the, like, you know, the parent teacher organization. They purchased that for us. I got a seventh grader who knows their way around a Cricut to create some ribbons, a first place ribbon, a second place ribbon, and a third place ribbon, because we wanted to make sure that there was this visual symbol of, look at that classroom right there. They are rocking some attendance. We wanted there to be peer support of positive presence, right? Especially as kids get older, right, in fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, there are some kids who are like, whatever, school's stupid, I don't want to be here. But it's like, come on, man, I know that you, like, you'd rather stay home and play video games, but if you're here, we could have perfect attendance, and then we could decorate the first place potato. I know those conversations were happening because kids were telling me that that was happening. Teachers were coming to me being like, I don't know why my kids are so into this, but they are so into this. So we have this incentive of, if your classroom, your core class, has the highest data of present students, then you are the most present potatoes, and we got a first place, a second place, and a third place trophy for that. And we're going to switch those every single week. And so every single week, you know, the positive potato pressure is on to earn one of these. And so that became part of the routine, is every single Monday during meet and greet in the gym, I would pull the data, I would analyze that data, I would find first, second, and third place, and I would announce that in front of all the students, and we would clap them up, we would hype them up, and kids were so excited about that. That was the team component of it. We want your whole class to be present potatoes. And then what I would do is I would come into that classroom after meet and greet, and kids would get to customize their potatoes with the special hats and the special gamer headphone sets that were included, and the silly eyes and the amazing mustache and the really cool shoes and the funny mouth and, like, all of these special potato head accessories that came with the box that we got off the Zaun thanks to our PTO. That was getting customized, and they were getting pictures, and I would take those pictures, and then I would create a collage for our social media thing. Our school tries to create a positive presence on Facebook. That's where we have found that a majority of parents are at. So every single week we would be posting those classes and telling the data, like, here's the data. And can I tell you, in the midst of January and February, where usually attendance is not that great, we were getting 100% of students in multiple classes. I think in our lowest points in the year, which is crazy because it wasn't that low, our lowest points in the year, our winning class was at 95% during January and February. And I want to remind you that after COVID, the average was 91%. And we were getting a first place class to have 95%. Yeah, that's what's up. This was freaking working. I've got more to tell you about this, because this wasn't just a classroom level. We also wanted to celebrate individual students, because we understood that building rooted relationships with individual students was going to also have a huge positive impact on this attendance system. And we know that's true. Individualized, special, rooted relationships with students are a huge indicator of a positive school climate. Relationships don't just happen on accident. We have to foster those relationships. I always like to say that we have to put the roots before the fruits. And if we truly want to have amazing attendance data, amazing state testing data, and amazing map data, and amazing data for every other stinking indicator that we track and focus on, we first have to put the roots before the fruits. And you know what the roots are? Relationships. Rooted relationships make a huge difference. And that's why I want to officially invite you to participate in the 21-day Rooted Relationship course that's going to be happening in December. What's the Rooted Relationships course? It's a 21-day fun, flexible, virtual PD where you can earn up to 15 hours worth of official PD credit simply by diving into fun, strategic, significant, and also silly ways to connect with staff and students on a life level. In this episode, obviously, we're talking about attendance data, but there are some strategies, there are some lessons, there are some things that you can put into place at this point in the school year to build really strong relationships with students. It's never too early, but it's also never too late to build really rooted relationships with the kids that are coming into your classroom on a daily basis. I would love for you to be a part of the Rooted Classroom course that starts in December. You can go to monicagenta.com/courses. That's Monica, GENTA.com/courses to check this out. And I'm also going to put a direct link in the show notes. If you want tons of ways to connect with staff and students, and you're looking to earn up to 15 hours worth of official PD credit, I would love to have you in the Rooted Classroom course that begins in December. I promise it is going to absolutely be a way to connect with kids in ways that you've never connected before. So you've heard all about the potato head trophies that were created to be used as a class incentive, a classroom family incentive. That was based off of the data for all of the kids who were assigned to each of their homerooms. But we also wanted to do something for the kids who were individually doing their very best to be in school on a daily basis. Maybe there was a kid who, God love him, got pneumonia or the bronchitis or something like that, and so they were out of school for an extended period of time. That's nobody's fault. That's just life, right? Darn it. And we hate that. And part of this was we were encouraging staff to reach out proactively if a student had a pattern of an absence. And what we defined as a pattern of an absence in January, February was 2 days in a row. 2 days is a pattern. Day one was like, oh gosh, where's the kid? Day two is, oh gosh, that's a pattern. And then they were reaching out to that student. If a student was gone again on a third day, the teachers were contacting me, and then I was also contacting home just as another accountability partner to check in on the well-being and in the mental health and the actual physical health of that kid. What can I do to support your student? What can I do to support your family? Your child has been out for 3 days in a row. So there were systems in place for me to support the classroom teachers on this as the SEL teacher in the building. And so we had this really great team dynamic working. This was not a one-person dog and pony show. This was all staff were buying in. All staff were seeing a positive impact, which caused them to realize, like, oh my gosh, this really is working. The principal was a huge cheerleader on this, 100% support. She was coming in with these awesome ideas, and we're going to talk more about those awesome ideas in next week's episode, because this is a two-part series on this amazing positive potato system. But what I want to do is talk a little bit more about the individual incentive that kids could earn. We decided to do a positive potato coloring competition. And what did that mean? Well, my high school leadership class got on to AI, okay, little ChatGPT, and we asked for ChatGPT to create some one-of-a-kind special potato head coloring sheets that kids could get nowhere else except from these AI generated things that we had created. And we made them really fun themed. We had one where the kid was, or the potato was skateboarding. We had another where it was this really sweet, like princess sort of themed potato head. Another one, the kid, I shouldn't say the kid, these potatoes looked like kids. They were kids in potato bodies, but it was awesome because they were potato heads doing childlike things, like wearing Nike sneakers, okay, or having a cool backwards hat on, or having like butterflies and rainbows and really sweet like hair accessories in the background. So we were trying to appeal to all of the things that kids were interested in so that they could earn these potato coloring sheets. And how did kids get those? By having perfect attendance for 1 week at a time. And what I would do is I would roll my rolling desk into classrooms with the data of all of the kids that had perfect attendance the previous week, and we would hype them up. It was like a complete hype situation. Like, holy cow! During the second week of February, the following students had perfect attendance. And then they would get to pick out their favorite coloring sheet. And each week we were trying to create new coloring sheets so that if a kid was rocking and rolling, having perfect attendance every single week in January, they were getting new opportunities to color new sheets. And so this was just a way to go into individual classrooms. And even if, let's say, a third grade class didn't have first, second, or third place as a classroom family, did we have a number of students who had perfect attendance on an individual level and we wanted to celebrate that? Heck yes. Our perfect attendance coloring sheet contest ended up filling like an entire wall in our building, and it was so cool. The kids got really into it. Their art skills were put to work. Their motivation skills were clearly in effect because every single week there were so many kids who were motivated to just be in the building on an individual level. And there were some kids who were like, I have a doctor's appointment. And we're like, we understand that. Absolutely. Go to your doctor's appointment. That's why we're doing this during all of January and all of February. Some parents were saying, like, calling us and being like, what is this positive potato thing? Because my kid asked if they could do their doctor's appointment at 3 instead of at 12 because they wanted to make sure that they were getting their coloring sheet for the week. And we're like, first of all, we love that. That's amazing. Second of all, if that doesn't work for your family structure, we get it. And they're like, no, I've never seen my kids so excited to go to school before. And I'm sorry. Can we hit pause on that? Parents were calling in. And this was not just one family. We had multiple families calling in or stopping us or sending teachers messages on the Band app saying, my student is so excited and motivated about this potato incentive. This is the thing that is causing them to kind of get over the hump of, I don't want to go to school. Can I stay home? Potato heads in coloring sheets. And I'm going to tell you, in the next episode, I'm going to drop the data on if this actually made a difference. Because we have all been in that situation where we do something special. We put a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of energy into an idea. And then at the end, we're like, oh my God, it didn't do anything. It didn't move the needle, right? I'm telling you right here, right now, this did move the motivation needle. Like, that was happening. Kids were happier. Staff was into it. Students were into it. That's great, okay? That is some qualitative data. We had awesome qualitative data. Did we have the quantitative data to match? Well, we're going to talk about that in next week's episode. And we're going to talk about how we ended up creating something called the Potato Games. Because there are two other components of this. Because once we found the momentum, oh my God, it just kept going and it kept going. And I want to share the data with you on that. And that's going to be coming up next week. So things that we've talked about. One, student achievement. Difficult to move the needle quickly. But there is a component of that, student attendance, that is actually easier to change very quickly. We talked about the potato head trophies. We talked about the coloring sheets for individual student perfect attendance. Next week, we got more to share with you and the data to either prove this is a waste of time or this is absolutely a must use in your school. Spoiler alert, you're going to be blown away by the data. Okay. The data is definitely a spud, not a dud. Okay. You guys, I want to remind you of the Rooted Classroom course, which is going to be happening in December. Registration is open right now, and you can get signed up if you are loving ideas like this and you want even more ideas for your classroom, for your students, and for your school. You can go to monicajensen.com/courses to get proactively signed up for that course that begins in December. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you join us next week in part two so we can continue this positive momentum with potatoes. But I want to just thank you so much for living this teacher life.